the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello and happy new year, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 118 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at nfl.com/Sheck, S-H-E-K, and a special episode you've joined us for. Indeed, because as we turn from 2012 into 2013, the new year has arrived. That means it's time to hand out the Shecky Awards. I don't understand why people do their year-end awards before the year has ended. It's the same thing as doing player voting for MVP and or Pro Bowl balloting when there's still a game or two left on the slate. It's not the right way to do things. That's why the Shecky Awards were created some 30 years ago when I was a lad. I created my awards to hand out. I know that the Academy Awards address movies and the Grammys do the music. I take care of everything else. We'll get to those in a little while. But you may have heard there's big news in the world of pro football. The NFL playoffs are here. We're going to break them down now, as well as the announcement that Ray Lewis, this will be his final go-around in these playoffs. Will it be this coming weekend? Will this be his final game? Let's talk about it right now with the man seated to my immediate right. As always, you know him from NFL Fantasy Live, which is now done for the year, of course. But also, you can peruse his work at NFL.com. All sorts of good stuff up there right now. It's Adam Rank. Happy New Year to you, fella.
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Did you get loose on New Year's Eve?
No, I did not get loose on New Year's Eve. It's not a big day for me.
No.
I was sitting
there.
It's
JV. Have always said, I heard that forever ago, it's amateur hour, and it really is. Go have your fun, junior varsity. Let me know when you're through, because Dameshek is on the varsity when it comes to getting loose.
I have 364 other days I can get loose.
Sure.
And here's the thing, though. I'm sitting there. It's New Year's Eve. It's about 9:30, minding my own business. Playing some video games, just enjoying life. One of my neighbors, whose name I kind of know this guy, shows up, beer in hand, three kids. Hmm. Hey, I hear you're watching some kids over here. Now, I had a couple neighborhood kids I was babysitting, but they were upstairs. They had built the fort. They were minding their own business. And he goes, hey, heard you got some neighbors over. I got some kids over here. Would you mind a few more?
What neighborhood, what world do you live in? Children from the neighborhood just are upstairs at the Rank house?
Yeah, I was babysitting. I was watching two kids.
How does that happen?
Because
they're not related to you.
No. But
are you being paid?
Their dad had to work.
Are you getting paid to watch these kids?
No. Their dad had to work, and their mother was working at a homeless shelter. So I don't know.
That sounds nice, but it seems weird that you're babysitting children that aren't yours or don't share blood with you.
Well, truth be told, it's my daughter and then her brother.
Your daughter?
Yeah.
Now my head's
spinning. Now you're way confused. I know. It's too much. I want a kid in a poker game that goes way back.
I see. All right.
It's hard to really get into it. But anyway, yeah. How do you explain to somebody who's going to go feed the homeless, like, no, I guess I can't watch your kids. I got the NCAA football fired up on the Xbox. So that's fine. There's two kids. That's good. It's the other people that show up who I don't know who are like, hey, would you mind three more? I'm like, yes, I would, actually.
What? This is, well, look, I don't understand what's even going on in your world, in your neighborhood. But, I mean, listen, slippery slope, fella. You start taking in children that aren't yours.
I didn't take them in. I sent them on their way.
Rank is like the old lady who lives in a shoe all of a sudden. All right, let's say hello to another fellow, one of our favorites here. From 2012, he emerged, and we'll be handing out the award for best newcomer on the Dave Dameshek football program when the Sheckies commence here. In the meantime, you know him from around the league. He's solo right now. Maybe his pal will join us in a bit. It's Dan Hanzus. What's the poop with you, fella? And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys. I want to say something about Rank's neighborhood, because I've heard several stories now where there are a lot of kids coming in out of the house, and you know, I picture you on a cul-de-sac neighborhood where the sun's always shining. It's just this like great place where everyone looks to Rank as the father figure.
It is Orange County. It is a little bit like that too. It's the weirdest thing. Like, if it was something like the neighbors next door are really good friends, and the kids treat me like I was their uncle or whatever. But somebody just coming in out of the blue, like, hey, who would? First of all, my whole thing was like, who is this guy who would be willing to drop off three kids with
somebody you
barely
know. I don't understand the whole premise of what you're even talking about, that you already have two kids. I don't know what's going on. And then you won one in a poker game. It's like Russell Hammond giving away Penny Lane in Almost Famous.
Yes, exactly.
There's plenty of available room on the NFL Network block for entertainment. Why don't we just slide in a reality show about your life? And
it's close. The whole thing, it's like, I'm just trying to, I don't want to do any, like, I'm too responsible now, as I feel it's my own downfall.
Very strange.
Is now, you know, you I don't know.
We have a lot of football to talk about. We have a lot of business
to get to here.
We also have a guy who is going to be playing in one of those playoff games, Terrence Newman, a pal to the show. Mm-hmm. Ever since he came on a few weeks back, we found him to be nothing less than delightful. In fact, I informed him that I was going to the game in Heinz Field. I ultimately did not attend that game. I decided to stay home. We covered this on the podcast. I opted against, on December 23rd, going to Heinz Field to watch the pivotal game in the AFC North to determine that final spot in the playoffs. I chose to watch it with my family. Mm-hmm. All gathered around the TV. We collectively
were disappointed. Did people come over from the neighborhood to try to drop off more kids, though?
No. See, that sort of thing doesn't happen. Okay. Yeah, see, we haven't opened that door, that figurative or literal door, so we don't have to deal with such things. But anyway, Terrence Newman did make a fascinating offer behind the glass today, once again filling in for Black Tie, is our newest addition to the tie rack. Tie. We call him that because of his resemblance to Ty Detmer. Hey, Tie, Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year, guys.
Sure. Listen, play us the Terrence Newman sound from his visit the last time around. I'd like you to know, Terrence Newman, I will be in the stands in Heinz Field there. I'll be the guy waving the gold towel over my head.
I thought you'd have had a lot more pool and been on the sideline rather than the stands. I don't really know what that's about, but, if you really want to be on the sidelines, you can convert and become a Bengals fan, and that's what I can do.
This is a deal with the devil. Oh. I could go to the sideline.
I mean, we take care of our people, so, you know, that's just the way it is. But, you're on a radio network, man. What are you talking about? You're supposed to have all kinds of hookups.
Wow. He did throw that offer out, Terrence Newman. Mm-hmm. It was nice of him, although I don't know if he was trying to play with my heart. He did. Of course, I didn't attend the game at all. And Terrence Newman, now on his way to the playoffs, will look forward to yapping with him about the upcoming matchup in Houston. A flagging bunch there. First of all, though, let's talk about Ray Lewis, fellas. Actually, before we even get to Ray Lewis.
I had a question for Dan.
Oh, you did?
If we could. Now, Dan, I don't know if you guys, I don't want to pull back the curtain too much, but Dan's coming in on his day off.
Sure. Yeah, which we appreciate for the Shecky Awards. What a deed.
I would not miss it. I'm nominated, so.
Class act,
I'm not
fella.
One of those people that, you know, gets nominated for a major award then doesn't show up at the ceremony.
I don't like people who are too big for the award. Yeah,
you
I don't
consider
like
that. I'm here.
Well, that's nice. That's nice, but you're coming in for an award, but you're not necessarily dressed up for it. Now, you're wearing jeans, am I correct?
Correct.
And a Yankees ball cap. You're wearing the ball cap of the fourth-placed AL East team in 2013, in all likelihood.
That's a burner.
And you have a workout shirt on, though.
Yeah.
A dry-fit, long-sleeve workout shirt. Yep. So are you the guy at the gym who goes in there with his dungarees and is repping out? Hey, can you spot me? Nah, dude, you're wearing jeans.
No, because I've seen there's so many people in the NFL newsroom now that are losing weight. I've taken as the New Year's resolution to get in shape, so I'm going to go to the gym after this wearing shorts underneath my jeans.
Oh, okay.
I like the – oh, is that right? So for 2013,
gotta
Dan Hanzus is slimming down. Well, that's interesting because – it conflicts with something you said to me last week about all the weight loss we see. Now, I've spoken out against Adam Rank's weight loss. I don't care for it. He's lost somewhat 70, 80 pounds?
Something like that.
What are you up to? Like 95 now? You've lost 95 pounds. God bless you.
A buck 03.
You're like the guy in Thinner.
So I think it's a noble ambition to lose the weight, but there are certain human beings that just look better with a little bit of weight on them. Drew Carey is one of those guys. Now, I don't look good with extra weight. I'm carrying it now after the holiday season. The pie face is emerging. You see, it gets rounder and fuller, and it's not good.
It's not
a good look for Travolta. It wasn't good for Ted Kennedy. It's not good for Ben Roethlisberger, and it's not good for Dave Damaschek. So I have to lose a little bit of weight. But, Hanzus, you mentioned that you weren't a fan of the weight loss, not necessarily the weight loss, but the attitude that's come along with it for one Adam Rank. Talk about it.
Well, no, I mean, I feel like Adam, you know, he never misses the opportunity to drop, you know, knowledge about his weight loss. He'll squeeze it into a lot of different conversations. And as I've
said, is he joking when he does it?
Well, he feigns, he feigns humor, but really, I mean, the man is proud of his weight loss. He is, you know, 150 pounds down now about. So, you know, it's just something that he does now. It comes up in almost every conversation.
It really does. I find a way. Somebody's like, "Hey, how about the new car?" I'm like, "Yeah, I would look.
Yeah,
I would look
new. Good. You want to look at these new pants?
Huh? I had to buy them.
Skinny jeans.
I'm too skinny to sit in my grooved out car seat. So I was a bigger man when I was sitting there.
So Rank, apparently, according to Hanzus, he's playing nice, but I think what he's asking is lose the attitude. Is that what you're saying?
He lost the weight, now lose the attitude.
I see. All right. Well, so
because you got to go through that cocky phase, kind of like Ben Stiller in the Dodgeball.
Wow, I'm not familiar with the reference. I've never seen that picture.
You've never seen Dodgeball?
I've heard it's awful, so I wasn't.
I remember Rip Torn throwing wrenches at guys. That was funny, but I don't remember much else.
Okay. Never mind.
Before we one last thing before more a little bit more Huey and Applesauce, then football, then the Sheckies, a.k.a. more Huey and Applesauce, and then Terrence Newman coming at you here. But let me ask you guys a question. Here's my New Year's Eve. I'm watching the TV, and I notice that on one coast in New York City, in Times Square, once again, thousands upon thousands of people choose, they willfully choose, to jam themselves into Times Square in the cold for hours on end, nowhere to go to the bathroom, nowhere, you know. In fact, I hear people wear adult diapers.
So
That's true, but because there's nowhere to go to the bathroom. Booze is theoretically not allowed. I'm sure it's not easy. I'm sure it's pretty easy to sneak it in. But anyway, so that's one coast to go and do that. And then I'm flipping the channels, and the local news here in Los Angeles is covering people who have set up shop at 9 o'clock p.m. on the 31st. They're sleeping on the sidewalk in Pasadena so that they have a good seat for looking at the flower floats on January 1st go by. And I just both seem pathetic, you know, one coast versus the other. And if I said you must do one or the other, or your third option is to have one of your digits cut off, which do you choose? You have to do one or the other. Rank, I start with you.
Times Square.
Times Square. Why yes. So?
At least it seems like a party.
I mean, it does. Know. It's being jammed in with a bunch of strangers, shoulder to shoulder, in the cold. You're not able to even make your water anywhere unless
out.
You do
First
it in your pants.
All, it's cold out here, so you're going to be sleeping on a sidewalk. At least in Times Square, I'll be able to go home at some point or go lay my head on a pillow somewhere. Whereas in Pasadena, you'll be sleeping on the sidewalk.
Hanzus, how say you?
Well, they are. I would almost have a finger chopped off, but because when you have parades are so pointless. There's nothing fun about watching parade. Even when I've seen my beloved Yankees win a World Series, I went to the '96 parade, and even as like a kid, I was like, why am I even here? Well, mm-hmm. This is boring. New Year's Eve, as someone that grew up in the suburbs outside New York City, you know, I would have gone. I was an idiot when I was a teenager in my early 20s, and it still never crossed my mind to go. And I was even, you know, in my mid-20s going to bars in New York City and paying $150 doing that stupid kind of stuff. But I would never even think about going in that crowd, which is like a probably, you know, terrorist gold mine, you know, in the 21st century. I wouldn't want to go there for that reason even.
It's a little dark.
It's a little dark. I'm just keeping it real here. So I would not want to be anywhere near that situation. At least it's nicer weather out west.
I'm glad I censored myself on a prostate joke and you're talking about terrorists.
Well,
this is the world we live in now.
That's true. He's not wrong. All right. before I render the verdict on this one, look who's joining us here in Studio 66 from across the pond, our favorite Englishman and Miami Dolphins ambassador here on the podcast. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. His name is Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank.
Hello, handsome. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you too, Dave and Daniel and Adam Rank.
Did they celebrate New Year's in England?
Yes, it's just come around, actually. People are beginning to get excited about that whole flip from one year to another.
Here, too. Yeah, that's the same thing here. That's what we're into on this side of the Atlantic, too. I don't know if you heard what we were talking about, though, but which is worse, the Times Square tradition or the Pasadena tradition? Do you English people have anything so hokey as this?
Well, there is. They do a bunch of fireworks in London. And look, you have to be
fine. Do you have to out to see them?
Yes, you have to. Well, you know, people will line. Yeah. But you have to be a complete loser to turn up to any of these type of events. On New Year's Eve, you should be celebrating with family and friends. And basically what it says to me, if you have to go to some kind of made-up event, you don't have any family or friends who want to be with you on New Year's Eve.
Interesting.
So I reject all of those types
of
things.
Well, you have to choose one.
No, I don't.
No, I said, or you lose a digit. Choose one of those three. Do you really want to lose your pinky finger over
three?
This?
One of which three?
Times Square.
Yes.
Sleeping outside in Pasadena.
I counted two.
Or lose a digit.
Oh, or I'd lose a digit.
You wouldn't, though. You're not going to lose a pinky.
Oh, my God.
Really
I don't want to hang out with people I don't know. I didn't choose to hang out with the guy who's going
to
be
pressed up against
me. You're
not going to be able to hang
me.
On anything when I take your thumb.
Wait, who
when
has...
When you lose that opposable thumb, then you're really... you're not going to be able to hang on to anything.
Can you take a finger first? 5 years down the line, you're going to have to take the thumb. But to start with, I'm going with the
What is this theory that there's a million people in Times Square and no one knows each other? No one goes with any friends or family?
Well, you might go with one friend, but
then
you turn around. It feels like a very lonely existence.
Well, for me, the correct answer is Times Square, because at the very least, you get to put your head on your own pillow at the end of the night. Sleeping on the street to see flower floats go by? Fah and double fah. I don't like any of them. It's a terrible thing. All right, listen. Let's talk about the football playoffs now. Handsome Hank is here so we can get into them. Ray Lewis, let's talk about that. Maybe playing his final game, so we may as well start there. The wild card games, this to me feels like the best opportunity for an upset, although it is technically an upset if the Redskins win at home. It's technically considered an upset if the Redskins listen. There are people who live in Nevada who say as much, so I'm deferring to them. But I say that the Colts actually can go in there and do it. Rank, how say you?
It seems like one of those things where the Colts have been such a feel-good story. Now the Ravens have to... Hey, we got our own story now with Ray Lewis coming up. I still think the Ravens...
It's a good point, the influence that might have on the team, yeah.
The Ravens and the Texans have both kind of struggled down the stretch, but they're both going to turn it around in the playoffs. At least for 1 week, they're going to beat the upstarts. I don't think this... I understand where you're coming from. It is a nice story, but the Ravens, they can't lose this game.
I think that it has more to do with what I've seen out of the Ravens and over the last 6-8 weeks of the season, which is why I would say that the Colts have a shot at taking them down. But is the one game that we saw against the Giants where they really smoked them, is that enough to sway you into thinking, oh yeah, that's the Ravens, they're good?
But it's also outdoors where the Colts have struggled on the road this year. Mm. If the Colts were at home, yes, I'd give them a little bit of an advantage there. But they're not going outside, and they're not going to win in Baltimore.
Handsome Hank, how say you on that one?
I agree. I think it was the ultimate motivational ploy. I think Ray timed that announcement pretty nicely. I think they'll beat the Colts. Although, based on everything I'd seen up until, like you say, in the last 6 weeks, I probably wouldn't have made that choice until this morning.
Dan Hanzus, how say you?
That's interesting. I think the Colts already, in a lot of ways, their season's a success no matter what happens this week. I think the Ravens are the better team despite the struggles, and I think they're going to take care of business this week. I think the Colts were a nice story, but it's over.
Well, for what it's worth, and I think people maybe have the ability to overstate the influence of this, but doesn't Chuck Pagano sort of know where the holes are? Doesn't he know how to expose that defense? I mean,
one of the easiest ways to expose the defense is to key on Ray Lewis, because he hasn't been playing great
and he's
coming off an injury. So
absolutely,
that'll be one of the more interesting things, is this guy who maybe has motivated his teammates around him, but then, you could probably take advantage of him.
How legitimate a theory is that, though, that Pagano is going to know what the soft spots are in the defense and how to attack that?
It's a legitimate theory, but do the Colts have the weapons to take advantage of that? Is there? I mean, I guess
the offense certainly. I mean, think about that. The Ravens defense again, as we've said, even since August, that defense wasn't going to be especially great, and Suggs is back and all that, and I don't think Ray Lewis, I'm with Handsome on this one, that Ray Lewis is fine inspirationally, but he's not practically going to go out there and do anything to influence the game in a positive way. To me, I feel like that the Colts offense can definitely put up points. I think they should be able to throw and keep up with them. So then it becomes, well, is Flacco going to keep up on the other side?
Well, that's where they've been good. The Ravens' pass defense has been good. It's their run defense that's struggled this year. Although the Colts were able to run on the Texans last week. So,
fellas, where do you say Ray Lewis ranks among – well, there are different ways to skin this cat. Do we talk about where he ranks among linebackers? Generation to generation, that ultimately is an unsatisfying conversation to make, because people who were watching football in the 60s will say Butkus. People in the 70s will say Jack Lambert, Lawrence Taylor, and you know, for people in the 80s and 90s. But is Ray Lewis, how does he rate in Baltimore pro football lore, Handsome Hank? Is he the greatest Baltimore football player of all time? Is he ahead of Johnny U?
I don't know.
Who else would
that
even be in that conversation? Johnny U, I guess, basically, versus him. Or do we expand it to include Cleveland? Because, of course,
right,
as I've said before, the Cleveland Browns begat the Baltimore Purples.
Well, Dave, I mean, taking it slightly off topic, but I think that this is, for your NFL, that this might be one for the offseason. What if Ray Lewis had been drafted as a Brown, and how would that team be? If he, you know, since they were a year
removed. His first season, right? Yeah. Well, his first season was the first season of the Baltimore Ravens, right? Obviously not much of a conversation if he's the greatest Raven of all time. Hanzus, is he the greatest? Well, he wouldn't jump over Jim Brown, of course. So he doesn't jump Jim Brown. Where does he rank if we combine Browns and Colts and Ravens all together?
I would probably put him third behind Unitas and Brown. I mean, he's the type of player.
Well, but if he's the greatest middle linebacker of all time, then does he jump Johnny U, who at this point probably is no better than, you figure, Joe Montana's one. You figure Aaron Rodgers, after he wins the Super Bowl this year, is two. And Tom Brady is probably three when he loses in the Super Bowl to Aaron Rodgers.
I have a hard time comparing those eras, though, like you were saying. It's hard to say Unitas, if he was put into this era, what kind of numbers he'd be putting up.
Right.
Very true. Yeah, I agree with that. When they did the NFL Network's top 100 list, Johnny Unitas was 6, Ray Lewis was 18. So if you just take it off that list.
Wow. I think we over the last 15 or 20 months have put plenty of arrows into that list.
Their current list was was upsetting, but
yeah,
the one of the all-time list was a little bit better.
No, it was not. Peyton Manning was 8th all-time, not among QBs. He was the 8th greatest NFL player ever. That's ridiculous.
Dan Marino was 21.
That's absurd. Absurd. Absurd and absurd. And that's go ahead.
No, just to go back to Ray Lewis, is that I am very happy that they won that Super Bowl in 2001, because can you imagine how many fluff pieces we would have had to be dealing with over the past decade about, we got to get Ray to the Super Bowl, Ray's got to win this one, you know, Ray deserves to play in the Super Bowl. We never had to deal with any of that.
Well, Ray Lewis's legacy, and it's fun, it's interesting to look back and think about, you know, at the turn of the century, Ray Lewis was, I mean, his life was really, you know, under the spotlight. Not just his time with the Ravens, his career was in jeopardy. Who knew what was going to be with this guy going forward? And if you remember, that was really, that could not have pleased Commish Tagliabue when the guy, remember the whole, the scandal and the trial and everything, and then that guy goes and doesn't just lead that defense, but they win the Super Bowl, and then he wins the MVP of the Super Bowl, and he can't do the I'm going to Disney World jazz. He can't do any of that.
Right.
That was a really fascinating time, and it was not... You could feel from the outside looking in that this was not something that the NFL wanted to embrace. And a decade later, obviously, we're here at the NFL Network today as this news breaks. We're recording on Wednesday. And, of course, it's a celebration for one of the all-time great players. And what a great guy and an ambassador for the league. What a transformation this has been for him. Yes, Hanzus?
No, I agree. I mean, he's one of the great – he's almost like a movie character. And he has been really good for the game in the past decade. And, you know, even as his play declined over the last 5 seasons or so, he became almost more famous for the, you know, NFL films following around for those pregame rants and his commercial work. I mean, the guy is an iconic player.
It's it really is one of the more remarkable transformations from the bottom, and you know, in like you say, with endorsements and stuff like that, and being embraced by the league. I mean, he had to be the last guy the league wanted to have success, and in fact, he ends up being the MVP of the Super Bowl. And now he is. I mean, I really would put him up there with a guy who the league would push out as this is our guy. I'm trying to think. Is there anything that's equivalent to that? Kobe Bryant, kind of,
no,
but he's never escaped that. Really, it sort of is still on him a little bit. That has more to do with his behavior. I will say, Hanzus, I have to point it out.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Lewis can dance all he wants. He's danced this pregame dance, and everybody loves it in Baltimore. It's so great, and he does his speeches, and I encourage him to keep doing it because it did yield a Super Bowl for him, and it does work a lot of the time. It's worked against 30 teams in his career. Just remember, Ray Lewis, as you between now and the time you pull on that gold jacket in Canton in a few years, just remember, there's one team it didn't work against when it counted in January, and that team is the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's all I have to say on the subject. Yes, handsome.
I just had to say it was worth the dancing about
was great for him.
Yes, just handsome.
Unless you did it against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Going back to his legacy a little bit, though, the one thing that I think Deion Sanders pointed out this morning on NFL Network is that not only did he not, I wasn't talking to me, he was talking to the world. Not only did he not get in trouble again, Ray Lewis, after what happened, but he kept that entire Ravens team. There hasn't been a big story out of that team where a player's got in trouble because Ray kind of put the lockdown on everyone there.
Dante Stallworth?
Well, I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe Dante Stallworth, but for the most part, you know, people didn't do – it was no bad stuff coming out of that Baltimore locker room.
Yeah, the Ravens don't get in a lot of trouble. Do you remember the Super Bowl press conference where Shannon Sharp had to put his arm around him and he berated the media to leave him alone during
No, I don't remember that.
Lead up to Super Bowl 35, Shannon Sharp had his arm around him and was like, you guys leave him alone. And now, as you say, he's the most revered person. Anybody does anything, he's like the Godfather. Remember Terrell Owens? He mimicked his dance, and then like a week later, he instantly apologized. Like, oh, I'm sorry, didn't mean to poke fun at Ray Lewis. I'll never do it again.
And it is true among his peers. Clearly, of the guys we've talked to, he is he's held in about as high a regard as any player that we've come across. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens there in Baltimore and how that affects whether or not the Ray Lewis announcement affects the result of that game or not. Let's talk about the other games, though, now. And we got Terrence Newman coming up, so we'll yap about him about that game with him in a second. The biggest game to me, the most compelling game that I've seen in a wild card round in some time, the Seattle Seahawks at the D.C. Redskins. You have RG3, you have Russell Wilson, you have the guy who's pretty overshadowed is Alfred Morris, a guy who in almost any year, almost any other year, would be the runaway rookie of the year, and he doesn't even get mentioned now because of all the great rookie QBs. Seattle has a lot of attention. I would say 9 out of 10 talking heads that I've heard this week are picking Seattle, and the thing they point to is how red hot this team is. Hey, they've won 5 in a row, everybody. Yeah, guess what? The Redskins have won 7 in a row. It's in D.C. It is a cross-country trip. Yeah, Seattle has looked better of late playing on the road, but it still is a road trip. It's Mike Shanahan, who you and me, Rank, have disparaged as a guy who maybe was long in the tooth or the game had passed him by. But results are results. He's played in – obviously, he's coached in Super Bowls. He's taken teams there. Pete Carroll has really not done a whole lot of that sort of thing at the pro level. I'm taking the Skins. How say you, Rank?
I'm taking Seattle to the Super Bowl.
To the Super Bowl. You know no rookie QB's ever been to a Super Bowl.
Oh, then never mind.
All right. Well, I'm just pointing it out. It's worth noting. I know things are a little bit different because there's not a history of rookie QB's playing a great deal over the last 50 years in the NFL. But it is worth pointing out. It's a tough thing to do.
I'm not saying that it isn't, but when you look at the Seahawks, them and the Broncos, to me, are the most complete teams in the NFL right now. They're getting good play from their quarterbacks. They have solid running attacks, and their defense can shut down anybody. That's why I like Seattle in that one. Washington's defense can be exposed. There's a, you look at a lot of the playoff teams, there's a lot of question marks and a lot of teams. Seattle, their question mark is a rookie's never won the Super Bowl. It's like, all right, I agree. That's never happened. And you know what? No guy has ever come back from an ACL surgery 4 months later and then rushed for 2,000 yards. It's just we've seen so many things that we haven't seen before that that no longer weighs into my decision. I'm just looking at it from a football standpoint, and Seattle just looks like a more complete team.
I do agree with you. Obviously, their defense is more rugged than the Redskins is. Hanzus, how say you?
I would have taken the Redskins, but watching RG3 on Sunday night, this guy is playing at 50%. He can't move. And, you know, when you take that element out of their game where he's not as dangerous, I think that swings it to Seattle's side. And I will agree with Rank. I don't know if Seattle gets all the way to the Superdome, but the way the NFC is set up here, you know, where you can, on the AFC side, you could easily say New England and Denver are almost destined to meet. You know, somebody get picked off, but a lot of people expect that to happen. I mean, do we really expect Green Bay and San Francisco to meet in the NFC title game? I think one of these two teams, whether it's the Seattle Seahawks or the Redskins, are going to get to the NFC title game.
Because if Green Bay wins, don't they automatically play the 49ers?
Yes, they do. As long as Minnesota doesn't win, next week, the divisional round, you're going to have a really fascinating game with all the pressure in the world. I vacillate back and forth on this. The virtue for the Falcons is playing in the dome. They wouldn't want to go. I think it would be a bad spot for the Falcons to have to go into frigid Lambeau. That would be really rough on that offense. On the other hand, I think that that number one seed, which is what you covet, the bye and getting to stay at home and all that jazz, is valuable, but it puts heaps of pressure on you to then that you're now supposed to deliver, especially if you're Matt Ryan and the Falcons, who had the number one seed 2 years ago. They got smoked by the Packers at home in that game. They're going to be scared. I think they're going to be playing not to lose. I don't think they come out and this is, isn't this great that we're at home? I think they're going to be playing spooked. They're going to be playing, like I say, not to lose, and if Seattle rolls in there with that defense and the ability to grind it on the ground, I think I could see, Rank, you being right that at least the Seahawks get to the title game.
And then they could go to the title game and play at San Francisco where they can beat the 49ers. I'd have no problem picking
them. But instead, they're going to be at Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers is going to take care of business, and it'll be cold, and that will not be good for Russell Wilson running around out
there. Marshawn Lynch, they can't stop the run.
High revenge factor for Fail Mary game, too, for the Packers.
Oh, I didn't even put two and two together. What a thing that would be. Can you imagine if we get that, if we get the Fail Mary rematch with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line? That's a great
– delicious.
That is terrific, Handsome. Who do you like in this game, though, D.C. or Seattle?
I like Seattle. I'm probably not as
not
optimistic.
As much as how I like you say Seattle. Mm. I like hearing you say it, but go ahead.
Seattle.
Seattle.
It's like confetti, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as optimistic as Adam is, but I think that they are the better team. The one thing gives me pause, only because I saw it happen with my own eyes, is when they went on the road to Miami, which is, you know, a real long trip for them. They didn't perform very well, but I think Russell Wilson has matured and he'll be fine.
All right, Minnesota and Green Bay. I don't want to be dismissive about this game. I think Green Bay ultimately is going to win. The thing I liked from the Week 17 game, there wasn't a ton to like about the Packers with a bye on the line, that they can't take care of business against an incomplete, at least, Minnesota team. Say what you want about them, about Adrian Peterson and everything else, but they're certainly not a terrific team top to bottom. And the Green Bay couldn't handle it, couldn't take care of business there is troubling, but they can run the ball a little bit. And Greg Jennings is back, and Jordy Nelson is back, and they both look good. And JerMichael Finley, when those guys start getting back, things start to fall into place then. You know, you have a legit number one in Greg Jennings. That then benefits Jordy Nelson. And now Randall Cobb will be ready to go. And then that really opens things up for then, even like I say, JerMichael Finley, who is the fourth option. And Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys who has the ability to keep the play alive long enough that he goes through and looks at every receiver. If he has a couple of seconds to do so, he's one of the few guys that can take advantage of every guy on the field. I think I'm riding on Rodgers again. I said last year they'd win the Super Bowl when they were almost undefeated, and I'm saying it again. I think they beat Minnesota. The only caveat is it is going to be cold, And it ain't jive. It's not pretty long bombs putting a team away by four touchdowns by the half. But it is bad trying to tackle somebody like Adrian Peterson in the fourth quarter, especially when it's cold. That is not a jive sort of thing. It's hard to put into some sense of numbers what that means. But that's a legitimate thing. That's why teams run the ball in the playoffs more, not just because it's hard to throw. It's punishing. So if the game's close in the fourth quarter and they can just pound Peterson, then maybe they will lose that game. Handsome Hank, I start with you.
No, I agree. But I think then it puts the onus on the Packers to put some points up early.
Right, put them away.
Get a lead, because you put the game in the hands of Christian Ponder, the Vikings are going to be in trouble.
I agree that's what you do. You can't give them life.
Yeah.
Hands who
yeah, I agree. Sunday was a very important game for Christian Ponder, who, you know, win or lose now, barring a real meltdown, they can go into next season and say he's still their guy. Like the Colts, their season's a success just getting here. I think they're done, though.
Yeah, it's hard to rebound after something like that, after such a huge emotional win to go out and face the same team again on the road this time, and you're looking – do you really expect Christian Ponder to roll into Lambeau Field and beat a team led by Aaron Rodgers? I just can't see it.
Florida guy. I don't know if I don't know if Christian Ponder's born and raised in Florida, but he's a Southern guy. So, yeah, that's a tough spot to throw him into, to go up to Lambeau and take care of business. Yeah, I'm with Handsome Hank. The bottom line is, don't let this team have a feeling like look, it's halftime and it's a 3-point game. Put them away, be up two touchdowns, and they should glide. So, Rank, so you're saying Seattle. Handsome, who's going to the Super Bowl then?
I think the Green Bay Packers could do. The Packers or the 49ers are probably my pick.
Troubling, though, with what happened, like I say, in Minnesota.
For both of them.
Woodson and Clay Matthews back. If those guys hit their stride, this sets up to be what they did 2 years ago, which is just get hot at the right time with all their pieces back. Hanzoos.
I picked Green Bay before the season. I'll stick with them. I mean, they can't get picked up, but I just would love to see Aaron Rodgers versus either Peyton Manning or Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
I would love that too. And you have Matt Ryan. It's funny, the Matt Ryan led Falcons, they have to do something before anybody believes in them. And then the Niners have been so shaky. It's a week to week. They can look dynamite, but it's interesting to note that the Niners are held up as the best defense, and maybe you make a case now for Seattle. But either way, in Houston, that's kind of gone the way of the dodo bird. Isn't it funny? There's no such thing anymore. A decade removed from Ray Lewis's dominant Ravens defense, there's no such thing really as a truly shutdown defense anymore. The Steelers are number one in a lot of categories. If you watch them play at all, you wouldn't say they were an intimidating bunch. There's no such thing as a defense that just dominates a game to the point that they strangle out the chance of another team winning. But are the Niners at all? If we discount the Falcons and assume somebody's going to beat them, which is a big assumption, obviously, but are the Niners scary, Rank?
Not really. I mean, it's exactly what you say. There's really nobody who looks like that shutdown defense. Like, there's no way you can move against these guys. Because last year, you saw Eli Manning, Drew Brees getting over on the 49ers is one thing. Eli Manning had his way with the 49ers in the playoffs. So there's really not like a defense that really...
What's different? It's different than last year. And the Eli Manning thing is a fair point, except that Eli was crummy in the second half and overtime. They sort of fluked their way to that Super Bowl. It's interesting, but the point still stands. But that defense is worse this year. There's just no such thing as, good luck against that defense. I don't know that you could say
that
about
anything. It's not the 86 Bears. It's not the 86 Giants or anything like that. I haven't seen
that. The last two Super Bowl champs have had traits on their defense of great. You know, the Giants' defensive line was held up at the end of certainly through the playoffs last year, and in the Super Bowl played a great game. The Packers the year before, their secondary was pretty exceptional through the season. So they haven't had the whole package of like the Ravens
that's the
defense,
point.
The Bears
it's what
defense.
It is. What you're talking about is more spectacular defense, and that's what the defense, that's what Hanzoos and I were talking about this yesterday. If you bonked your head and went into a coma for 20 years and you woke up and you're a huge football fan when you passed out and you wake up now and you looked at the NFL right now, the things you would notice are, one, you would notice, wow, there are a lot of rookie QBs playing. That never used to be. And, man, these QBs run around a ton now. Yep. That would be you would notice that. But the other side of it would be that you would say, these defense, what are these guys doing? All it is striking – how much every defense is about just trying to create turnovers now. Yeah. That's all it's about, is they punch at the ball on every single play. They rip constantly at the ball. You didn't see that a generation ago. But they seem to acknowledge that you're never going to stop an offense now. The way the rules are set up, you're never going to take away the offense and just shut them down for the day. So what you need to do instead is just try and turn the ball over. I think, to his credit, that's what Bill Belichick did. Statistically, that New England defense isn't especially good. But what it does is turn the ball over quite a bit, and that's that. So they're at least spectacular in that sense.
But if you watch that 49ers defense, what they do very well is tackle. I mean, that's better than any team I've seen in the NFL for a while. They actually make their tackles. They're not trying to make big hits. They will just drop a guy when they have him. You don't break many tackles against the 49ers.
All right. Well, listen, this leads us beautifully in. We've covered the other three playoff games, and wouldn't you know it, it's now time to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals and the Houston Texans. I say we do so with someone who's going to be playing in that game in Houston. It's our old pal, the cornerback of the Cincinnati Bengals, Terrence Newman. What's the poop, fella?
Hello, chappies.
Oh, he's back with the English accent again. It's terrific stuff. Hey, mazel tov to you on the playoffs, fella.
Cheers, mate.
That was Australian.
I was going to say, that's Australian.
Yeah, I'm just mixing it up a little bit.
Can you do French?
Negative. I actually probably need to take a trip there and hang around a couple French people to work on my French accent.
Well, did you happen to pick up a Pittsburgh accent when you were on the banks of the Three Rivers beating up on those poor Steelers a couple weeks ago?
I actually did, but I can't say half the stuff that they say in Pittsburgh on this phone. So we'll leave that one alone. I made an offer, but obviously somebody probably wishes they would have took up me on the offer right now after that game, but we'll leave that for another time.
We don't have to leave it for another time.
Let's get him this. He had a chance.
Newman, you made a generous offer, although I felt on some level, maybe I'm cynical, I felt it was a devilish offer because I feel like you were trying to have me turn against my city, my team. How say you?
Dave, I'm just a realist. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I just tried to make you a nice offer that, you know, if your people didn't want to hook you up, you know, I would have hooked you up. You know, I'd have had a problem with that. But you didn't take my offer. And how do you feel today, by the way?
I feel sad in my heart. And you know what? Rank seated next to me, as soon as you hung up the phone the last time you were with us, he suggested, he had a really diabolical plan. He said that I should take you up on your offer, wear a Bengals jersey on the sideline, and then when the time was right, rip it off and reveal that I really had a Steeler jersey on, be a double agent.
Yeah, but either way, you'd have been sad today, so it wouldn't have really mattered.
No, that would have gotten in your head. Don't you understand? That would have messed with your brain. You guys wouldn't have been able to keep playing after I did that.
Listen, I play in the NFL. My brain's already messed up.
All right, hey, before we move on to that playoff game, let's talk about what happened in Heinz Field there. You know, the decisive game, we saw that one coming down the pike for about a month that whoever won that game was going to go to the playoffs there. I was surprised. I've been saying for many moons now that for one game, you must win it. I'll take Ben Roethlisberger. And boy, you guys really, I mean, you get the pick six against them. You pick them off in the clutch there with the final seconds ticking down. What was your takeaway from that game? What are your memories that stand out there?
Well, first off, you know, that was they have a heck of a defensive football team, mm-hmm. and we do too. You know, we've been playing well. I think they're actually tops in the league in defense. So, obviously, we knew that was going to be a big factor in the game is how well our defense played against their defense. But you know, they've got a lot of pieces on offense. They lost a couple players in the game, which obviously it's a big impact on a game like that. So, you know, we wanted to go into that environment and kind of, you know, make our presence felt. We knew it was going to be a 60-minute battle, and, you know, at the end of the thing, yeah, it was still tied. You know, it came down. I'm thinking we're going to go in the overtime at one point in time, you know, and it's going to come down to whatever, you know, whatever team was more resilient in the overtime when, you know, we get a ball that sails on Ben and Reggie was back there to pick it off. And, you know, we had 14, 15 seconds left to make a play happen, and we did, and Josh kicked the field goal, and, you know, everybody went crazy. So it was one of those things where You know, you're always happy to be on that winning side, but at the same time, I got some friends over there, so it was good to talk to those guys, and you know, them to tell us we deserved it, then you know, that made it feel all much better.
Well, I'm not going to tell you any of that because I'm a sore loser. And I will say, though, Andy Dalton, say whatever you want. The defense was good. You guys didn't score an offensive touchdown all day. But Andy Dalton threw that ball to A.J. Green on the money. That was a big-time throw in that spot, huh?
I told him after that throw, I said, hey, big time. That's a big-time throw. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, he's a second-year player. He's got a lot of confidence back there, a lot of poise. He's getting guys in his face all day, you know, and he just sits back there and throws the ball knowing he's going to get hit. And where he put that ball to AJ, I mean, that mm-hmm. Just shows you that, you know, the guy's a competitor. And obviously everybody on this team is glad that he's on this team. And leading this football team in the right direction.
What about, and I told you last time, I have already decided you guys will be the 2013 AFC North champions. I like what's going on there. But then you played division foe Baltimore last week. How weird is it to play against the backup QB when they're sort of resting people? What's the frame of mind there? Don't get hurt. Make sure we're in good shape for next week when we get to the playoffs?
Well, both teams ended up pulling, you know, guys to make sure, you know, guys were healthy for the next game. But at the same time, I mean, it's a home game, so we obviously wanted to win it. You know, Baltimore is definitely a great team, and they run the playoffs. But I think there was a play early in the game with Vontae Leach where he, you know, he got hit and, you know, was injured in the play. And I think, you know, after that point, both coaches were kind of like, hey, you know, let's make sure that we get guys a little bit of playing time. That way you stay in that mindset, you know, for the whole week. You get some game work in and you know, you're focused, you know, heading into next week. But I think the big thing in that situation, both teams are in the playoffs, you want to get guys healthy, you know, as healthy as possible, because at this point in time, nobody is 100%. But the more that you can protect them and keep them as healthy as possible going into the playoffs, I think it's a benefit for sure.
It seems like it's just a big preseason game almost.
No, I mean, it was there. You get fake punts, and I mean, their quarterback made a lot of plays out there with his legs. He, you know, scrambled well and kept their drives alive, and you know, helped them score some points. So, you know, we kept a lot of our guys in, you know, throughout the game. You know, subbing a little bit here and there, but bringing them in and out, just trying to keep them fresh and trying to keep them healthy. But obviously, like I said, we wanted to win the game. It was a home game against a division foe. So, you know, that was pretty important for us as well.
Hey, listen, one rule I have here on the show is no jive.
There are no rules.
The only rule that I do have, though, is no jive. I don't want jive talk. And so be honest with me now. You're a nice guy, but try your best here. Cowboys, Redskins, you are, you know, the Cowboys part ways with you. You get to the playoffs with the Bengals. Sunday night in front of the TV, are you rooting for the Redskins?
I can't say I was rooting for them. I have a great deal of friends on the Cowboys team. So mm-hmm. I will say that, you know, I took a lot of criticism last year. You know, I played through some injuries and whatnot, but, you know, I played well to begin, and then obviously I didn't play up to par, you know, towards the end of the season. So with that being said, my departure there was solely on me, you know, so I can't be bitter about that. That my actions on the field are what led me to be released there. So, but I will say that there was a little bit of satisfaction, I guess, for the same fact that their season ended the same way it did when I was there. My career ended there. So they went 8-8, and you know, they didn't make the playoffs. So now I'm here, and you know, I'm on a pretty good defense, and we're kind of tops in the league, one of the top defenses. I think we've probably been playing, you know, just as well as anybody else in the league the last couple of weeks. So, so to me, that was enough satisfaction. You know, just the fact that where I am now to, you know, where I was. That's where I get my pleasure.
See, Terrence Newman, that's not jive. That was a good. See, I like that. See, no jive. Now
I didn't take any shots. I was just being honest.
No, yes, yes. You comported yourself like a gentleman, and yet you also found time for honesty, and I appreciate that. Now, what about what's the buzz in the locker room with that great defense? The man at the head of it, Mike Zimmer. Any buzz around there? About is the phone ringing? Is he taking cell phone calls in the locker room from? Oh, it's the Chiefs. You know, that kind of thing, or is that all shelved until the playoffs are through?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything like that. But you know, I'm a firm believer that when I got here, and you know, as the season progressed, I was still kind of dumbfounded how he isn't already a head coach somewhere in this league, because he brings that much to a football team. He's got a winning mentality. He has no favorites whatsoever when it comes to defense or a football team. So, you know, if he is offered a head job, I think it will be, you know, bittersweet. I'll try to go to wherever he is at, that's for sure. But he's a great coach, and he's very deserving of being a head coach in this football league.
All right, let's talk about the big game you guys have coming up there. What day do you travel down there, by the way?
We go on Friday.
Go on Friday, and what do you – I mean, I assume obviously you're getting pretty heavy into the film now. Is there something that you're seeing that they weren't doing? I guess that's more of a defense – a question for someone on the offensive side for the Bengals to say, what's happened to the Texans of late over the last month or 6 weeks? That defense has not been as dominant as it was for the last year and a half. What's the buzz around there about going down there to Houston to take on this Texans team that's slid back? They looked like they had a lock on the number one seed a month ago, and now they're playing in the wild card round.
I mean, there's just some things that, you know, sometimes the ball didn't bounce your way. You remember early in our season we lost, I believe it was 4 straight games. So, you know, sometimes when you're not playing up to par, you know, things just aren't going your way, and that's probably some of what's going on there. Last week we saw a little bit of their game, and you know, they moved the ball a little bit, so it's not saying that you know, their offense is struggling or anything like that. They've got one of the better running backs in the league, obviously one of the better receivers in Andre Johnson, who's you know, he's a whole beast in itself. So you know, we know we're gonna have our work cut out for us. You know, this is the Houston Texans who blew out the Cincinnati Bengals last year in the first round of the playoffs game. So, you know, from a certain point in the season, nobody gave this team a chance to even make the playoffs. And look, we're still here. So we have a lot riding on this game, and we want to make Cincinnati a different, you know, city. We want to make it one that's known for having a good playoff football team and a hard-nosed, smart football team.
When you see a team like the Texans drop their final game, because it, like Dave said, they looked like they were going to be the number one seed, does that change your mindset about how you're going to approach them?
Oh no, not at all. I mean, you can never take a team lightly, just because what's happened, you know, with the last 3 weeks. There's no way you can say, hey, these guys, they're done for and whatnot, because you see week in and week out that, you know, there's teams that are supposed to win games on paper. Through, you know, what have you, betting sites and whatnot, and this other team comes out of nowhere and just beats them. So there's no way you could take a team lightly. You just have to go out there and play the game the way it is, and you know, at the end of the 60 minutes, hopefully you're on the right side of that scoreboard.
Here's what I'm worried about, though, Terrence. If you guys win that game, and I give you a pretty good chance of doing that, if you win that one, then you go to Mile High, that's going to be way too much orange on the TV. Because, you know, the Broncos are going to wear their orange jerseys and your orange hats, you know?
That is true. That would – I didn't think about that. Actually, we played them earlier, so maybe they'll be in the blue jerseys. I don't know what –
Maybe you could – man, we should do something about that, because that won't look good.
I don't think we're going to be in orange jerseys, so no. I'm pretty positive we won't be in orange jerseys. So just a little bit of orange on the helmet, I think, from us.
Yeah, we park our cars in the same –
before we get to there, we have to win the football game.
Well, do you want to make a prediction on it?
If I was to do that, then I would have worked with Miss Cleo back in the day, and I would have had that site where people can call in. I can give them my theories. Not
See?
Only that, but I'd have found their winning lottery ticket several times.
Isn't that terrific? Yeah, that's right. The people who can do that, they don't take advantage of their powers. Miss Cleo and the rest of them. Yeah, just start picking the lottery, and you don't have to worry about the 900 telephone lines anymore. You'll be all set. Hey, Terrence Newman, we wish you the best of luck in that game. Go get them, and take it easy in 2013 on the Steelers. They're going through a tough time. There's not going to be a Mike Wallace there probably next year for you to have to worry about. Just take it easy, if you don't mind.
Hey, we're not in a position to take it easy at any time soon. So. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, last thing. We have Handsome Hank here, who's from England. Let's do it. Do you want to have a conversation with him, Handsome Hank?
We can certainly talk. I hope Terrence is going to spend – I mean, I hope – obviously they win this week, but I hope Terrence is going to spend some of his off-season in London perfecting that accent.
I've actually wanted to go to London. That was one of my off-season plans, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, let's make that happen, and then I can maybe, you know, we'll come back next year and we'll see whether you've made any progress on that.
Sounds like a good idea, fellow.
All right. Well, hey, well, Terrence Newman's on the line. Hey, Terrence, before we let you go, hopefully you already have the title of playoff participant. That's a nice thing for you. But we're also handing out the Shecky Awards here today. I'm sure you're familiar with the Shecky Awards, and you're nominated in not one but two categories. The first category is Best Guest. And the nominees are, we're jumping into them right now, fellas, with Terrence Newman on the line. Best guest, and your nominees are, from the Indianapolis Colts, Dwight Freeney.
Okay.
From the Green Bay Packers, linebacker, A.J. Hawk.
All right.
From the Cincinnati Bengals, cornerback, Terrence Newman.
Hello, world.
And the winner is...
me, duh.
It's Terrence Newman. Congratulations, hey. Terrence Newman.
Where's the confetti?
Well, listen, it's falling here in Studio 66. Go brag to all your teammates. But quickly, before you do, also, the next category in the Shecky Awards, Best English Accent. And your nominees are Handsome Hank and Terrence Newman. The winner is... Handsome Hank, congratulations.
Oh,
don't be disappointed, Terrence.
You know what? I can't be disappointed at that.
Maybe next year, though.
But I'm going to go work on that for sure.
All right, go look at film of the Houston Texans. Then you can worry about the English accent. But in the meantime, congratulations on that victory and perhaps an impending victory down there against the Texans.
I appreciate it, fellas. It's always a good time when I talk to you guys. So.
Yeah, for us too. There he goes, the great Terrence Newman. Now the Shecky Award winner for our best guest of 2012. Good stuff
so
out of Terrence.
I'm so elated.
Wait, I might have to retabulate the votes after that. Elated. There he goes.
Drop that in the post-game interview.
I may do that for you.
We'll look forward to it. All right, there he goes, the great Terrence Newman.
David.
Now the other half of the Around the League debate club that you hear here on the podcast regularly. He's joined us a little bit tardy because of all this Ray Lewis breaking news. He's churning out the pages for you on Around the League with his usual mirth. It's Mark Sessler. Happy New Year to you, fella.
Well, you as well to all of you. I could have used a glass of whiskey this morning.
You could have.
Sure, I totally
advocate
your theory.
It's in my bottom drawer. You could have just grabbed it.
Didn't know that.
Hey, you know what we didn't do was we didn't give out our picks then because Terrence Newman called it at the right time. Let's circle back. Cincinnati-Houston, how say you rank?
Houston,
I think they survive.
I want to switch.
I do,
I like
too.
Newman so much that I want to – I'm going to root for him. Well, I don't know what that means, but I think Houston will.
I think they practically – it's not a matter of Terrence Newman. I practically think Cincinnati has a chance to go down there and beat them. Houston's playing crummy. And Houston and Cincy's defense is legit, and they might really be able to take away Arian Foster. If you do that, then what? Now Andre Johnson, you're depending on Matt Schaub, who has exactly zero playoff cred. I mean, keep in mind, it was T.J. Yates last year, so Matt Schaub is still going out there for his first go-round in the postseason. I could absolutely see Cincinnati winning this game.
You know what? But it's Cincinnati losing that game at home to the Cowboys that makes me refrain from fully committing to them because they still are prone to not. God, but then they beat the Steelers on the. It's tough. I could see
they didn't score an offensive touchdown though. Like I say,
I could see it
offense.
Going either way, but I'm going to go with Houston still.
I'm going to stay with Houston too, but boy, I really am skeptical of what's going to happen there. Handsome.
I think Terrence Newman's going to be able to book his flight to London next week.
Oh, all right. I didn't know where you were going. Sessler, how
I'm going to go against you guys and say that the Houston Texans are in full crash and burn mode. It's been a disaster. I kind of feel like we talked yesterday they're going to go to possibly New England and just get waxed, but I'm going to go Bengals.
Get out.
Why not?
I don't like the way that you just said, I'm going to go against you guys. Like, you couldn't just say, I think the Bengals will win. You had to make it a point that you're going against us out of spite.
Yes, out of spite.
Fair.
Hansus, how say you?
I think Houston grinds out 17-13 type win, and then the Patriots hang a 50 burger on them in New England.
Yeah, it's too bad. That's what Sessler and I were talking about. Is what if, you know, I could absolutely see, given the recent, relatively recent history with the Patriots. Obviously, they play the Jets and smoke them, and you figured, well, that's what's going to happen again in when with the year the Jets go to the title game in Pittsburgh. You figure, well, this is 2 years ago. You figure. Obviously, the Patriots are once again going to smoke those Jets, and the Jets go in there and beat them. If that game, if the Patriots had to go down to Houston, I would really be able to figure out a way that the Texans could beat them, but not if they have to go to Foxborough. All right, I say the Houston, Houston's going to do it.
Did the Jets really beat the Patriots in the playoffs only 2 years ago?
I know.
Feels like, you know, like in heaven and it's gone.
You poor dear. Well, you want to talk about Grimm? Who's in the sorriest state? We can have this conversation next week because none of our teams officially are in the playoffs. Ranks, many teams, none of them made the playoffs.
Handsome my Seahawks
Dolphins.
Are in.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's so hard to keep track of your ledger. Sessler's Browns. Hanzeus's Jets and my Steelers. Boy, sorry bunch here in Studio 66. It's awful. It's downright awful. Yeah. We can talk about that later, but boy, the Steelers, a lot of people are tweeting me, what's going to be with all these free agents? I think I usually have faith in the Rooney way and, you know, stay the course and everything, but you think about the massive changes and turnover that they're going to have. I don't know what's going to be next year.
We could Mike be in Waller. Real trouble.
I applaud it.
Keenan Lewis is probably gone. Mike Wallace is probably gone. James Harrison. Does Lamar Woodley, he feels antiquated all of a sudden with Alden Smith and Von Miller. No longer does Lamar Woodley stand out as a dominant outside linebacker. It's a scary time there in Pittsburgh. But all right, we won't talk about that now because they're not in the playoffs. All right, apologies. I've decided, executive decision, I am interrupting the podcast. We are going way too long. Good times with Terrence Newman and all the fellas in here. We are going to interrupt it here. The Shecky Awards will be presented in episode number 119. We will unveil those to you tomorrow, Thursday. Be on the lookout for those at NFL.com and iTunes as usual. But we're just going too long, and we have to give them their due. We can't bury them at the end of the podcast. No one will listen after all. So we're interrupting 118 here. Thanks for listening to that. Tune in tomorrow to hear all your Shecky Awards. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.